Well, the account of today's gospel takes me back to 1999. In the city of Nazareth, there's a church, and it is the Church of the Annunciation. And inside that church, it is believed there is a grotto that you can look at and go up to the wire gate, wrought iron gate, I should say. And it is believed that that is the place where the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Now, today's gospel does not have that account in it. That account takes place just before Mary visiting Elizabeth. And so I want to share with you about the angel Gabriel telling Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, enabling her to do and to be more than she could possibly do by herself. And at the same time, the power of the Most High will overshadow her. Please think about this. God Himself, the Creator of everything, will surround her completely with His sovereign power. Sounds pretty amazing. But remember that in the Bible and in Jewish and Christian thought, the true God is the one in whose image humans were made in the first place. We're not talking about some pagan god interfering roughly and inappropriately with the affairs of the people, but about the one who made us for himself. When he takes the initiative, it's always a matter of love, a love which will care for us and offer us his salvation. Now I'm excited at the 5:30 service on Christmas Eve. I will sit along here and invite the kids to come up. There'll be no children's church because I'm going to spend some time with them and share with them. I'll give you a little preview about the rescuer and how humanity was so messed up. It needed a rescuer. And so y'all be here on Friday night if you can at the 5:30 service. It's nothing that you haven't heard before, but it might be in a different way. And I'm excited about that because that's why God sent him in the first place. Now, Mary is a perfect example of what always happens when God is at work by grace through the people he created. God's power and Holy Spirit result in things being done which would have been unthinkable any other way. And there really is no other explanation. Sadly, no one is likely to be convinced of Luke's account of these events if they're not already open to the possibility that Jesus also is the one in whom Israel's God had made his personal appearance and walked right into human history. Let's face it, Jesus split time in two. A.D. and what we used to call B.C. And now, for some reason, it's called before the common era. I'm sorry. To me, it's always B.C. before Christ and A.D. Anno Domini, which is the Latin that's saying that it's God's time, the year of the Lord. He made his personal appearance, and as I said, he split time in two. It's amazing that through belief in God, all things are possible. Think about how and where Jesus would be born. He would be born as the Messiah, the Holy One, the Anointed One, the King of the House of David. God had promised David a descendant who would reign forever, not only over Israel, but also over the whole world. And this coming king would be the Son of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, God says this, I will be his father, and he will be my son. Wow. In Psalm 2, verse 7, God clearly says this through King David. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. In Psalm 89, verses 26 to 27, God proclaims this. He will call out to me, you are my father, my God, the rock, my savior. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. If you will, the breadcrumbs have all been spread out throughout all of Scripture, telling people that God's own Son was coming to rescue us, to save us. Spoiler alert, that has to do with the children's sermon at 5:30. Who the rescuer is, you know it. All we need to do is follow him. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus calls his first apostles, what does he say? Follow me. He says that to us too. The birth of Jesus is somehow identified with all the Christmas shows, which have nothing to do with him coming to save us from our own sins. It's easier for people to celebrate and believe in other things than to grasp what happens here in the first chapter of Luke, and later in Luke chapter 2, which we'll be celebrating on Christmas Eve. We have the announcing and the conception of a baby. We have the power of God and the challenge to all earthly kingdoms. And maybe that's why, one reason it's so controversial. Some people don't even want to think that there might be a king who could claim this sort of absolute power and loyalty over every other ruler that ever lived. There's more going on at this time. We need to remember about the puzzled Zechariah, who was filled with doubt and questioned the angel Gabriel. Because of that doubt, he was struck speechless until the day of circumcision of his son, John the Baptist. We need to think about the obedient humility of this young teenager. That's right, teenager named Mary. She too questions Gabriel, but it's in the form of a request for information rather than doubt. There's no doubt in her heart at all. Instead, faced with the chance to be the mother of the Messiah and not really sure understanding what this will involve, she says the words which have resonated throughout history and the years as a model of human response to God's unexpected calling. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary had a great faith to obey God and to be subject to his will. Mary, as Deacon Bob read in today's Holy Gospel, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, who the angel told her was pregnant. When Mary got to the hill country of Jerusalem, of Judea, near Jerusalem, Luke's Gospel tells us, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. Elizabeth was given a supernatural knowledge by the Holy Spirit that Mary was not just pregnant, but she was bearing the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, it's important for us to close with the words that Mary responded with to Elizabeth, which have been called the Magnificat. I want you to hear these special words, filled with love and faith and no fear. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Now, I want to share with you something that happened this past Wednesday night. During our Bible study, we watched a wonderful dramatization of the experience that Mary and Joseph had on their journey to fulfill God's promise given by their messenger, the angel Gabriel. It was a special Christmas episode of The Chosen. And up to that point, it had only been shown in theaters where you had to buy a ticket and go in. Unfortunately, our local theater here doesn't have it. You'd have to go to Valdosta or Waycross. But I was able, from the app, to get a copy of it, and I showed it. Now, the underlying theme that Mary kept saying was that people must know. I wholeheartedly agree. Luke became a messenger as he told the account of Mary and her visit from the angel of Joseph and his visit, of Mary visiting Elizabeth, and ultimately the arrival of the King of Kings as he was born in the little town of Bethlehem. Bet meaning house of, Lechem meaning bread. Bread of life was born in the house of bread. And that was foretold by the prophets, which we will celebrate this Friday, both at 5:30 and at 11 p.m. These events are not kept secret, my friends. They are, shall we say, watered down by some of the things in our culture. But we keep our focus where it needs to be. And they need to be shared. The truth is that now we are messengers, because people must know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.